And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Buffalo Beat. The Buffalo Bills looking to go 9-3 for the second consecutive season. And before that, it was like a, 2019 to 1997, a 22-year absence from a 9-3 start to a season. But that's what the Bills are trying to do again this season. They've got a pretty interesting matchup with the San Francisco 49ers coming up. And, of course, we are here to break it all down for you. My name is Joe Biscaglia. With me is my podcast co-host, Matthew Fairburn. And the Bills are coming off a kind of a throwback win over the Los Angeles Chargers, where it was the defense setting the tone. It was the offense kind of not getting out of their own way at times. Josh Allen had a bit of a game to forget. So certainly all the turnovers that the Chargers forced, or I'm sorry, that the Bills forced, definitely helped set the table for the Bills to come away with that 10-point victory over a team that they should have. So this week, I think, is a bit of an interesting one, not only because they're going up against a team with a losing record, but also because we'll have to see how Josh Allen responds. And Matthew, I that's where I kind of want to start with this, because Allen has been really good this season. I think that's a pretty fair statement. But this past game was probably his worst of the season. So it's a big opportunity for him to show everybody how much he has grown, to not let a string of games undo what he has built so far this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've gotten to a point with Josh Allen that it's no longer a question of, you know, whether he's this team's long-term answer at quarterback, you know, whether he'll be here, whether he's the guy. He's answered a lot of those questions. But now it's about, you know, handling that responsibility, right? Being that guy that, you know, can lift this team to wins at important points in the season and taking care of the football in a responsible way, which he did not do last week against the Chargers. He got a little careless with the interception. The fumbled snap, regardless of who was at fault for the initial fumble, he probably should have just fallen on the ball and lived to play another down. He got a little bit of that Thanksgiving Dallas energy and tried to pick it up and run with it. So, you know, just some of the old habits that we've seen in him that he may never completely break, but it's about, you know, limiting them as much as possible and, you know, recognizing, especially in important moments, important games, what he has to do as that guy that I talked about, that franchise quarterback, that long-term answer, the guy that is going to be the reason they win games down the stretch and in the playoffs. You know, you could even look at that play that he got hurt on. And I think that is a really good example of him needing to understand how he fits into the big picture. And yes, he only missed one play. He's on the injury report this week with knee and ankle injuries. He's a full participant, like we mentioned on the podcast after the game. Not a situation, you know, it's going to take a lot to keep Josh Allen off the field. He's a really, really tough guy. And he's not going to be kept out of practice. He's not going to be kept off the field unless he absolutely has to be. But that does not mean the injuries won't impact him in some way. And that play he got hurt on, it was a run play where he tried to pass the ball. He couldn't quit on the play. And sometimes you need to just, you know, call a play dead and go down and not get yourself all twisted up the way that he did. And also not almost turn the ball over the way that he did. So those things he needs to continue to get under control. Like you said, he's done it most of the year. We've seen him do it fairly consistently for stretches of the season. And in these important games, it's going to be, you know, even more critical that he takes care of the football, even probably more so than his passing yardage or things like that. It's going to be taking care of the football and being able to, you know, handle these second halves, because that's how, you know, teams are going to get back into games. That's how you start to see those leads shrink a little bit, as they have on the Bills. You turn the ball over and give other teams opportunities.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, our last podcast, I know a couple of people wrote in and were like, you know, it kind of sounds like they lost, guys, but that's kind of where this team is right now, because when you have a good team who is primed to make the playoffs, likely to win the division this year, and certainly taking those steps that we had been talking about all offseason, then it's fair to expect more out of a team, especially when they have shown to be such a version of themselves earlier on in the season. And the one thing that continues to kind of stand out to me is the fact that the passing game just was never in sync. Now, it wasn't all Allen's fault by any means. It a lot of it had to do with the blocking up front. I think pretty much to a man up front, they all struggled in pass protection, and it wasn't just on Joey Bosa, which was probably the infuriating part for the Bills, because all season long they have been pretty good pass protectors. So that likely influenced them trying to run the ball more, which is something that you learn after you watch the film and things like that. But even still, they just didn't look in sync with the passing attack. And I think that's the way to kind of reverse course here, because Allen is and this offense are really at their best when they're getting that area of their game going, to the point in which you are forcing defenses to play you differently. And while it was a great sign for them to get the run game going the way that they did, they got some chunk plays. Zach Moss looked really good. Devin Singletary was making the right reads, even though he fumbled. And it seemed like the run blocking took a step forward against the Chargers, who aren't really a terrible run defending team, by the way. So those were good signs, but Allen is the lifeblood of this team. And so now I look to this week, where it's going to be a challenge, because this is a good 49ers defense. And I would argue the most talented defense they have faced so far this season. Now, that will immediately be usurped by the Pittsburgh Steelers next week. But so far, I mean, I don't know that they have seen the type of three-level talent that the 49ers bring. I mean, even without Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas and Dee Ford on their defensive line, they're still really good up front. Eric Armstead is kind of a nightmare to deal with. Kerry Hyder is really good. And then they've got their first-round pick, Javon Kinlaw. Then you've got the linebackers, who are both really well-suited to today's game, and Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw. The cornerbacks are a perfect fit for zone with Jason Verrett and Richard Sherman. And then their free safety, Jimmy Ward, is a player and a half. So I like all of their levels on this. But this is a spot that sets up to where great quarterbacks tend to shine. When you're going up against not the best of opponents, but you're still able to take the game over and you're still able to be that guy. And it's funny, you brought up the Dallas Thanksgiving energy that he had when he tried to rescue a fumble against the Chargers. I kind of think there's a bit of a Dallas Thanksgiving energy to this game coming up. Because you've got, back then, the Cowboys were a much better defense and they had much more talent. But you've got a pretty good defense, an NFC opponent, a primetime game, an underachieving NFC team that you're up against, and you're traveling out west to do it. I just look at this as one of those, maybe it's one of those moments that potentially we all remember about, where Josh Allen kind of grew up a little bit more and played against a type caliber of defense as this one. Like, I think there's a legitimate opportunity for him here. And it's not to say the 49ers defense is infallible in coverage, but he's going to have to put things together. And I wonder if maybe that energy that we're talking about, that to try and push that Chargers game aside, maybe that's a focal point for the Bills moving forward here.
Yeah. You know, they've had somewhat mixed results in those national spotlight type of games over the last few years. Obviously, Dallas was a highlight for them. They had the big win against Pittsburgh, but that was against Duck Hodges. But still, nonetheless, you get that road atmosphere and the you know, primetime slot, the national TV audience. I think it's healthy for them to get, you know, these four games in a row here in national television to get used to what it's going to be like in the playoffs. Last year, they were, you know, they got little tastes of it here and there before the playoffs, but, you know, having that spotlight on you, having the strange week, which comes with a Monday night slot or a Sunday night slot or a Saturday afternoon slot, as they're going to get against the Broncos, and that is very much in play always in the playoffs. I think there's a certain, you know, there's something to be gained with that. And especially for Josh Allen, because he has, as you mentioned, you know, against Dallas, really shined at times in some of these spots, but this year it hasn't been quite as good for him, you know, when they've had the national TV situation. So this is going to be a hungry 49ers team. This is going to be a team that, you know, that's, I know there's some talk about the fact that they have to travel to Arizona rather than stay at home in San Francisco, but that can have a weird kind of galvanizing effect on a team for sure. And this is a team that is still weirdly alive in the playoff picture. Only 5-6, a team that made a run last year. They're banged up. They have a ton of injuries to important players, but they're not, you know, you mentioned all the players they have on defense. They can still play on that side of the ball. They gave the Rams a real hard time last week. And, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, they've got enough, and they've still got Kyle Shanahan. So there's definitely a, yeah, there's a little bit of that Cowboys feel to this game. There's a little bit you know, it's not, of course, you don't match playoff football one for one in the regular season. There's no game that can really match it. But playing against a team that you know was in the Super Bowl last year, playing against a defense that has a lot of those players and doing it on Monday Night Football, I do think that, you know, presents a certain energy and a certain, you know, gravitas to this game that they need to step up and handle, because that's what, it's not going away. It'll be there next week. We'll be having the same conversation about the Steelers game, and to a much lesser extent with the Broncos and Patriots game. But it's the conversation we'll have about the playoffs. So if you want anything close to a simulation for what the postseason is going to be like for your quarterback and for your team, I feel like this is it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, this is also a 49ers team that desperately needs this victory right now. I mean, it's
almost a must win for them. It's very close. Yeah. They have Washington and the Cowboys after this, and then two, you know, games that will decide their fate against the Cardinals and Seahawks. But without this win, they get to seven losses, and it becomes pretty tough to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. According to 538, they're at about 28% chance to make it right now. A win against the Bills that gets them back to 6-6 would put them right in the picture. So they're borderline desperate on Monday.
Yeah, yeah. And it that is another aspect of this, why it's kind of reminiscent of that Dallas game. And, you know, weirdly enough, same week of the season, too. Both games were week 13. You know, Dallas was still kind of clinging to playoff life. They ended up, you know, not really doing all that well. Yeah, and the rest of their season kind of unraveled. But even still, this is a prime time matchup, not only for when it's being played, but for the type of talent that they're going up against. And this is really a big moment for Josh Allen. If he can rise to an opponent that they should be able to beat. If the Bills are going to win playoff games, they should be able to go to Arizona and beat San Francisco, which is a funny sentence to say. But this is where great quarterbacks kind of shine, these moments. And it's not to say that he has to throw for 400 or do something like he did against Miami early in the season. I'm not saying that, but like, what was so memorable about that Dallas game is just how efficient he was, how in tune with the game plan he was, how fiery he was. I mean, he really just took over that entire game. And I just have to wonder if maybe the Bills need more of that from him, because he was, you know, they focused on the run last week, but it almost felt like he was a little passive with that. I mean, he wasn't really forcing the ball down the field all that much, even when they were dropping back to pass. Some of that had to do with the pass blocking again, but still, there were opportunities that he clearly missed. Like when I went back and I watched the film, I saw at least two or three opportunities where Gabriel Davis was up against the cornerback one-on-one. The single high safety was not looking their way. Davis wins right at the line of scrimmage, gets separation. And even one time he chucked up his arm immediately to try and signal to Allen that he was there, had a lane and potentially a huge gain. And Allen was on half field reads sometimes and just settling for the smaller stuff. So that's where it kind of looked a little passive to me. I wonder if he sees those missed opportunities on film and goes, all right, well, and he's been good at this, self-scouting, self-awareness, constructive criticism, all the like, and then making tangible changes. And not to the point where it's reckless, but to the point where it's calculated risk shots down the field that he needs to do more of, and that he did more of earlier on in the season. And he got away from it against the Chargers. And that game, I think, was closer than it had to be. So I think this is a big spot for him, like I said. And I am very intrigued to see how he performs in this game.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I'm also, you know, still pretty interested to see what the knee and ankle look like. And
yeah, I agree.
I think it's pretty safe to say at this point that, you know, he didn't, obviously it wasn't major enough to knock him out of the game entirely. Wasn't major enough to land him on injured reserve or anything like that. So you can probably rule out torn ligaments. You can rule out, you know, ligament damage in the version of a high ankle type of situation. But that doesn't mean he won't be playing through some pain. And, you know, the fact that he's popping up on the injury report, we saw that with the shoulder earlier in the year, and that coincided with somewhat of a slump from him in the middle of the season. it could go either way. It could lock him in more, you know, when he's playing in pain and kind of, you know, in a situation where his back is against the wall. But if it limits his mobility against a team that can rush the passer, limits his escapability in any way, or it's even anything that he's thinking about in any meaningful way, it could impact him. It's something I'm watching more out of curiosity, because I don't know that it will impact him or how much. But if it does, it's something to follow, not just for this week, but for you know, the next few weeks coming up, because it's clear he's just going to play through it. So that might mean it takes a little bit longer to get back to 100%. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, I think most people would agree that 70% of Josh Allen is better than Matt Barkley. That percentage might be even lower. I don't know. The way Josh Allen's played this year, you'd certainly like, you know, him out there even at less than 100%. So just curious to see if at all, and in any way, how it impacts his game and how he plays, because I would expect him to be on the injury report for at least a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the left shoulder is now no longer on the injury report, so it's swapping out one for the other sort of thing. But yeah, that will be a major point here to see if he's able to move around as well as he is. I didn't really get to see too much on Thursday when we were able to go to practice about in terms of mobility. They were mostly working on offensive sets and things like that. But there was no real way to tell. But also in practice, there's no real way to simulate him taking off and running, and because he's afraid of a 320-pound defensive lineman trying to tear him down. So, yeah, that those fight or flight moments will be very interesting to track.
And this is a well-coached defense, right? This is
100%
that I'm sure is looking at this and saying, "All right, let's test this out." They have, as you mentioned, the linebackers to get after the quarterback. They've still got, they're so deep on the defensive line that they lost, what, three key defensive linemen and still have three pretty dang good ones. So, you know, they have the bodies and the talent to get after him. And I think the defensive coordinator, they play such an aggressive style that I would expect them to test it out and see, you know, exactly what we're talking about, because, you know, they're not stupid. They're smarter than we are. And, you know, they watched the game last week. They look at the injury report. So it'll be up to Josh to respond to that. And, you know, maybe that means, like you said, he can't take off and he can't quite, you know, put his body on the line the way he's used to. But we've seen him have probably his best games this year when he doesn't need to run at all. So I think, you know, that should probably be the focus here a bit.
Yep. And yeah, that's when, and that kind of leads us to the other side of things, because if Allen is at all limited, or, you know, the 49ers are able to kind of deal with him, then that this turns into a defensive game for the Bills and them needing to step up in a big way. In thinking about this game and studying it and in looking at how the Bills could actually line up in this game, obvious the big potential addition here is Matt Milano, who might be coming off injured reserve, and he's already been designated to return to practice. He has practiced all week so far, as of 9:50 in the morning on Friday when we spoke with Sean McDermott. There were no setbacks at that point in time. He was still working through it, and they were going day by day, just like all of us. But it did seem like that there is at least a solid chance that Milano comes back. And, you know, after watching Thursday's practice, watching him move around, being really, really in tune, kind of jumping around, all of these different things, it definitely looked like a guy who was ready to get back after it. So take that and do with it what you will, but there's a potential that they could have him back. And if they do get Matt Milano back, I found this incredible. based on what this season has become, which is basically the Bills just trying to bob and weave through the injury report on defense throughout the season. And that's not giving them any excuses by any means, because all teams have to go through this. But when you go back and look at it, it's like, wow, that they have had something every single week leading up to this one. I would say that they have 18 core players on their defense, which includes, let me get the full list because I actually wrote it out. It doesn't include guys like Daryl Johnson. It includes Jerry Hughes, Mario Addison, Trent Murphy, AJ Epinesa, Ed Oliver, Quentin Jefferson, Vernon Butler, Justin Zimmer, since he was called up, Harrison Phillips, Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano, AJ Klein, Tre'Davious White, Levi Wallace, Taron Johnson, Josh Norman, Micah Hyde, and Jordan Poyer. You can even throw Dean Marlowe in there as well, because he missed one game. But every single week, there has been at least one of those guys missing for almost the entire game. They had at least one of those guys missing for 10 of their 11 matchups. The only one where they had all of those guys going into it was week 4 against the Raiders, in which Levi Wallace was injured after only 6 plays. So they had a grand total of 6 plays for their optimal defense. And this week, they have the potential to have all of those people available to them. And honestly, Milano's presence alone, especially in a matchup like this one, where we see what Kyle Shanahan does every single week. He's so smart, and the way that he schemes up offense, really, it's just him versus Sean McVay week for week to see who can scheme up something better in the NFC West. But when you see him using all of these motions and jet sweeps and getting Deebo Samuel loose, same thing with Brandon Ayuk, getting a lot of yards after catch for both of those guys, having as much success on the ground as they do with guys that probably wouldn't have as much success elsewhere. It's all really compelling. And specifically when you think about the jet sweeps and trying to get to the edge, that's where a guy like Milano can come into play huge into this matchup. And that's not to say he's going to like jump in and be an every down starter, because it kind of seemed like McDermott doesn't want to do that. If you recall back when, John Feliciano was coming back from his pectoral injury, the plan was for him to, you know, get some reps off in that game. But then Mitch Morse gets a concussion on the third play, and then Feliciano's playing the entire way. So I think this is a potentially big, big addition to this defense, and one that could even flip some things for them.
Yeah, they've got, you know, the fact that they're getting healthy at the right time is such a huge bonus. There's no better, perspective on this than just looking across the sideline on Monday night, because the 49ers have dealt with all sorts of injuries and
ravaged.
For the Bills to be this healthy, this late in a season like this one, I think is great fortune for them heading into the final month, because, you know, especially on that side of the ball where they're starting to get things figured out, a lot of it probably has to do with how healthy they're getting. Two guys in particular, since they've gotten fully healthy, Tremaine Edmonds and Ed Oliver, have played much better, you know, in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 games or so. And yeah, we've talked a lot on here about Matt Milano's importance to this defense. Couple it with AJ Klein's emergence, and, you know, what he can do as a blitzer, what Milano does in coverage, gives them a lot of different options for how they want to, you know, move the pieces around and match up with different teams. And that's what they're best at. I think that's the best thing about their defense when it's clicking and, you know, all, you know, pulling in the right direction, is how well they can scheme up and fool teams and really, you know, make things confusing for quarterbacks. And I think they now have everything in place to be that team again down the stretch. Maybe not quite what the 2019 defense was, but a close enough version, especially in pass defense, that can, you know, give teams some problems. The interesting thing about this matchup is that the passing offense isn't really your concern. Nick Mullins isn't really the guy keeping you up at night. It's Kyle Shanahan, really, number one. And number two, it's that running offense. You know, they've got a pretty good offensive line, a couple of good tackles, and you know, some pretty good run blocking guards. And the way they scheme up runs is a big part of what they do. It's a big part of what's given the Bills trouble. So when they talked about going through that deep dive on the running defense, or the run offense, and on one side of the ball, and the run defense on the other side of the ball, Leslie Frazier, Jordan Poyer, a few other guys mentioned finding the specific types of runs that were giving them trouble and trying to get those fixed. We're going to get a pretty good feel for that this week against the 49ers, because Kyle Shanahan's running games are tough. And I think that's going to be a huge test for this group. And they're fully healthy. They've got everybody that they need, assuming Matt Milano comes back. So it certainly makes for an interesting test, because when the 49ers get rolling in the running game, they are tough to stop. They've got good backs and a good offensive line. So that's going to be a big test to how much they've turned the corner in that part of their defense, because I think the pass defense is pretty good right now. It's pretty close to back to what it was, and now it's a question of getting that run defense just a little bit shored up so that when the right matchup comes around, they can handle themselves. They won't need the run defense every week. Not every team leans on the running game the way the 49ers do, but there's a few matchups in the playoffs where it'll come into play, so this will be a good test for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the pass defense has taken a definite step forward, and I know we're all sitting here talking about the emergence of AJ Klein and everything like that, but one of the sneakiest turnarounds of the entire season has been the play of nickel corner Taron Johnson. I mean, the dude has absolutely corrected himself from what he was through the first 4 weeks of the season, which was a guy who was unsure of himself in coverage, constantly getting beat. Now he's playing with confidence, firing in on blitzes, being a really good tackler like he's always been. He's being more confident in coverage, reacting quicker, trying to take on the cues of the receiver. And it's not perfect. Like, sometimes he gets beat. There was the 1 2-point conversion to Keenan Allen in that game, which was just a ridiculous throw and catch. But, you know, he did get beat on that one. And there's a couple of other examples throughout the week, but by and large, his emergence here has been so key for them, because now it makes it so that they have a strength in Tre'Davious White, they have a strength in Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, and now with Taron Johnson playing the way that he is, it takes a lot of pressure off that fifth guy, which in this case is Levi Wallace, to have to step up, because there's anarchy elsewhere. So I think for them, Levi has also been pretty good since he's been back too. So that has been a big thing for them. And I wonder, because you're absolutely right about the 49ers. I mean, their offensive line is impressive. Their running game, Mostert is back. Seems like they're going to have Tevin Coleman back this week. That'll mix in. Jerick McKinnon is still there. Jeff Wilson is still there. They're just getting production out of all of these guys whenever they're on the field. I wonder if maybe we see a reverse Chiefs approach to this game, because their whole philosophy behind that Chiefs game was to not allow Patrick Mahomes to beat them, which, fine in theory, but you also need the personnel to pull it off. And the Bills really didn't have that, because their defensive middle was poor at that point in time. They still struggle to clear out the running lanes for their linebackers against the run. It's been kind of masked the last 3 weeks, because their last three opponents have basically been pass first all the way. So I wonder, that was the flaw of that Chiefs game plan. But on the flip side, let's say the Bills were to sell out to stop the run against the 49ers, that would leave the strength, or one of the strengths of their defense, which is the secondary, to deal with Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, however they scheme it up. But if it's me, I'm probably wanting to do that way, because I would trust the secondary to handle their business. You know, occasionally they'll get them, but more so, especially against a backup in Nick Mullins. Force that guy to beat you and stack the box, sell out to stop the run, do whatever you need to do, and make the 49ers' potential win or loss go through Mullins. Easier said than done, but they have to give some sort of additional support against this team, because the way that they've been trying to stop the run is not going to cut it against this 49ers team. They need to make some sort of decision ahead of the game to game plan to stop that before it gets started. Because like you said, rolling stone, gathering moss, and it's going to run some people over if the Bills let it get that way.
Yeah, it's almost in some ways like the Steelers game last year, where you know you're going up against a backup quarterback and you need to essentially plan accordingly and, you know, adjust your scheme accordingly. Now, the difference here and the one caveat is that Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk can be a problem. Samuel, in particular, now that he's healthy, is a guy that really can break open a game and be a handful to deal with because of how much he moves around and everything like that. They don't have George Kittle. They don't have their starting quarterback, so the passing offense shouldn't be a huge, huge problem. But they do have, you know, some playmakers where you can't let up the big play. You can't, you know, a lot of times, and we've talked about this, you know, it looks like, you know, people get on Tre'Davious White because a catch was made in front of him when maybe that was by design in the scheme, you know, with them playing so much zone. That gets a little bit trickier when it's Deebo Samuel because he does basically all of his damage once the ball's in his hands. He's
same thing with Ayuk. He's a big yards after catch guy, too. Yeah,
so dangerous after the catch. And that's an unusual – they're unusual in that way because you don't see guys quite that good after the catch. And I think that's something that they're going to have to – you know, they've mentioned tackling a lot. It was a problem earlier in the season in the secondary, and it's been better. And it needs to be, because that's the best way to slow down, you know, Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk is to tackle them, because that's where they get so many yards. And that's where big plays can come from that'll start, you know, leaving you questioning the game plan and, you know, peeking into the backfield on play action and different things like that. So I do think simple stuff like tackling is going to play a huge role in this defensive game plan.
No doubt there, especially if they go into man coverage because they're selling out to stop the run a bit more than we're used to them doing. That tackling and that support, because odds are if they go man-to-man, they're only going to have two shots at tackling a guy, and you have to make sure that you get it done. But the good part about selling out to stop the run is that you're forcing Mullins to throw it and potentially to make a mistake. And the guy over the last 3 weeks has turned the ball over five separate times. So there is a method to the madness here. And that would be the number one way of being able to slow down this 49ers team and allowing the offense not to be perfect against a good defense, but to know that they'll probably need to get to 24, or maybe 27 to get a victory here in this game. And that I think that's entirely doable against an opponent like the 49ers.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world. They just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
All right, let's get to the prediction portion of the show. So this game started off as the Bills favored by 3 points. The line has completely flipped to where the 49ers are now 1 point favorites, according to DK Sportsbook. The total on the game is 47. So, Matthew Fairburn, you correctly hit the trifecta last week, so I'll let you lead us off. Who wins? Who covers the spread? And don't you dare tell people to bet the under again.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to... I'll start there. I don't think I feel as confident with the under in this game. It's tricky. I liked the under so much last week with it being, you know, a young quarterback against this Bills defense because it felt like a bet on the Bills defense, essentially. You know, with them being able to slow down Herbert, felt pretty good about that. It's not that I don't think they'll slow down the 49ers because they probably will. It's not like Nick Mullins is better than Justin Herbert, but it's a more competent offense in some ways in terms of how it's coached. And the running game could be a problem. The number's lower too, right? 47 is
47, yeah.
Pretty significantly lower than what it was last week. Game is being played indoors, which I think helps the Bills. You know, to get to 47, you really only need the Bills to hit 30, which is not as big of an ask as it used to be. So I'll go with the over.
Okay.
That's what I would start with. I've gone back and forth on this game more so than a lot of games. I think the Bills certainly have a very good chance to win it. I'm going to go with the 49ers as a desperate team that badly needs this win, a defense that's, you know, a little bit healthier, playing well, playing aggressively, to take advantage of Josh Allen a few times and get a very close win. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be, might be one of the most interesting matchups the Bills have had all season long. But I'm going to take the 49ers to cover that spread and win the game.
It won't take much to cover the spread.
All they got to do is win, basically.
Yeah, they have to win by more than 1 point. So there's...
Otherwise, there's it's a push.
Yep. So there's a pretty good chance that if the 49ers win, you'll be right that they cover. I think, and I am completely in the same boat as you with this game. I originally thought one way, then I thought the other way, then I double thought my initial thought, and then I triple thought my double thought. I mean, it's just, these are two teams that are really talented. They match up against each other pretty well. They're also fairly similar built. I mean, there are some definite differences, but you know, these are two teams that are talented. They're well coached. And well schemed, all of these different things. I think what I came down to and why it impacted my my prediction here is just how good Sean McDermott has been against backup quarterbacks and rookie quarterbacks. And it kind of goes back to what we were talking about last week with Justin Herbert. I mean, Mullins obviously is not a rookie, but he's a backup quarterback. And whenever there is that line of weakness, McDermott always finds a way to exploit that. I think I'm thinking back to like the Denver game last year when they just made Brandon Allen look completely awful, even though Allen was just coming off one of his better games, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And I know the 49ers have a really good run defense, which is why I think they might try to pull the reverse Kansas City and sell out to stop the run and force Mullins into potential mistakes and allow your secondary to do so. I look back at since the Bills have gotten to the top of their rebuild mountain starting last year, the quarterbacks that McDermott has lost to, not really terrible. I mean, you've got Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, Tom Brady, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Ryan Tannehill, who has definitely taken a step forward in Tennessee. Then it comes down a little bit. You've got Carson Wentz, who until this year was still a pretty good quarterback, and he beat them in 2019. Baker Mayfield, who's around average, but still way better than a backup and most rookies. And then you have Sam Darnold, but I don't know if I really count that one because Darnold was going up against the Bills' backups when they were resting their starters in Week 17 last season. So I look at that track record from McDermott.
And before that, Blake Bortles.
Well, yeah, Blake Bortles. What was that, 2017? They barely had their defense at that point. But I think for them, that's a major point of emphasis here. I think McDermott is going to find a way to get the ball in Mullins' hands and to try and win the game for the 49ers. And that's why because of that matchup disparity, him against the Bills' secondary, it's the biggest matchup disparity in the entire game of the ones that line up against one another. So that's why I'm going with the Bills, like you, in a really close game. So the Bills to cover, even though it won't take much. And I have them winning 26-24 with a late field goal. So buckle up, folks. This could be a very, very fun game. Probably a nerve-wracking game for fans, but an entertaining one for casual observers nonetheless.
And a Tyler Bass moment, which we haven't really had in terms of a game winner. He had probably his biggest kick last week to put them up 10, but otherwise hasn't really had that game on his foot type of kick. So doing it on Monday Night Football, that'd be a nice... I think they'd like for him to get that kick before the playoffs and not have it the first one be in the playoffs, but... you know, that'd be a good thing for them, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I also think there is some of, even though they'll never say it publicly, there is some of them wanting to go to Arizona and rectify what happened a few weeks ago. It would be against total human nature and emotions to not let that impact you somewhat, especially when they are so emotionally invested in the outcome of these games, to where you go back there, you're in the same locker room, you're doing all the sort of same things on the same field, take the same route to the field. Like they're gonna have some strong flashback vibe. So I wonder if, and maybe not a huge part, but maybe just a tiny little part that kind of sticks in the back of their head as a little bit of motivation.
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad to do that. They'd like to...
They'll take whatever edge they can get. We've known that about McDermott's teams.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to play in a stadium that they're somewhat familiar with. And, you know, they had to listen to this idea that they're returning to the place where, you know, they let up the Hail Mary. So the Hail Mary is getting brought up again where it otherwise wouldn't have, which probably just...
A week after they got beat for another Hail Mary.
Yeah, probably just puts a little bit of salt on the wound and a little bit of, you know, a little extra kick in the behind.
And this can be a salty locker room, so I would not doubt if that plays into the mind just a little bit. All right, that'll do it for us. By the way, if you haven't yet, please do us a favor and hopefully do yourself a favor and head over to theathletic.com/thebuffalobeat to get a reduced rate on your yearly subscription. Makes a great holiday gift to your loved ones if you would like to help them read more about the teams that they love, the sports that they love, everything like that. You get Bills coverage, Sabres coverage. The NBA is about to get back into gear, so you get that. The NHL just announced what day that they would be starting in mid-January, so that's going to be getting close here. Lots of soccer stuff happening as well. Of course, national NFL coverage, anything you could want. You can head over to theathletic.com/thebuffalobeat right now and subscribe for a low price. All right, Matthew Fairburn, any fond words today?
I'm all out. All I will say is, if you go check out the mailbag today, there's a little treat in there for podcast listeners.
Ooh. Okay. And now I'm curious. All right. So definitely go do that. And if you're not a subscriber, make sure you subscribe so you can go do that. Get in on the inside podcast joke. All right. For Matthew Fairburn, my name is Joe Biscaglia. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this rendition of the Buffalo Beat. And we will talk to you after the game, probably early Tuesday morning, when the Bills take on the 49ers. See you then.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.